Conley to fight felon charge bitterly, the Atlanta Georgian. The Atlanta Georgian, Wednesday, the 17th of September, 1913. Page 6, column 5. Attorney will permit him to plead guilty only to misdemeanor judge sought. Jim Conley's trial on a felony charge as accessory after the fact in the murder of Mary Fagan will be strongly combated by his attorney, William M. Smith, according to an announcement made Tuesday. It is the contention that Conley, on the state's own theory of the crime, is guilty of nothing more than a misdemeanor, and that he cannot be tried for a crime of which he is not accused. Two indictments were drawn against the Negro at the last session of the grand jury. One charged him with a misdemeanor and the other with a felony. A nice point of law has arisen on the felony indictment, the Georgia statutes providing that an accessory after the fact, to be liable to punishment as a felon, must have hidden, harbored, or concealed the person guilty of the capital crime, as well as to have withheld the information of the crime from the officers. Fight centers on one word. If an attempt is made to try Conley on the felony charge, a legal fight will ensue on the interpretation of the word conceal. The state will contend that it has a broad meaning, which includes assisting the culprit to escape and concealing his identity from the authorities. This, the prosecutor will contend, admittedly was done by Conley when he shielded Frank for several weeks. Conley's attorney, on the other hand, will insist that the law be interpreted with the strictest literalness. Legal citations will be made to show that conceal in the statutes means nothing else than hiding or harboring the person of the guilty man. This, the Negro's lawyers will insist, Conley did not do. Case may come up, September 29, 1913. Conley will be allowed to plead guilty to the misdemeanor charge and nothing more. The carrying of the girl's body to the basement was a part of the Negro's action in withholding knowledge of the crime from the officers and did not in itself constitute a felony. It is held. The Negro's case probably will come up the week of September 29, 1913. Solicitor Dorsey has abandoned his attempt to hold court before this time. He hopes to be able to get a judge, either from the Fulton Superior Court or an outside circuit, to preside. Judge Ben H. Hill, the newly appointed judge to the Atlanta Circuit, will not take up his duties before October 6th, and it may be a week or two later than this. Page 8, Column 1. Watson trial set for early part of October. Savannah, September 17th. The case of Thomas E. Watson, charged with sending obscene matter through the mails, will be tried before Judge Foster of the Circuit Court of Appeals at Augusta the second Monday in October, according to Judge William T. Newman of Atlanta, presiding in the federal court here for this term. Judge Foster, he said, had been named in the place of Judge Emery Speer, and there was little doubt the case would come to trial, as the Judiciary Department was very anxious to have it disposed of. Page 13, Column 1. Newt Lee given a no bill by grand jury in record-breaking session 18. Indictments, two against City Hall men, are returned. In a record-breaking session, the Fulton County grand jury Tuesday morning returned 18 true bills and 4 no bills. The grand jury adjourned at noon until Friday morning at 10 o'clock. Prominent among the indictments Tuesday morning was the return of 2 true bills against Charles P. Martin, connected with the City Waterworks Department, who is charged with cursing and beating a Negro in his employ, and the indictment of J. Wiley Smith on charges of forgery, preferred by a half-dozen witnesses who appeared before the grand jury. No bill for Newt Lee. The grand jury also returned a no bill against Newt Lee, charged with the murder of Mary Fagan, the little pencil factory girl, for which Leo Frank is under sentence of death. The return of the no bill Tuesday morning eliminates Newt Lee from all connection with the murder. Charles P. Martin was indicted on 2 counts charging assault and battery and a misdemeanor on Jim Briscoe, a Negro employed at the City Hall. Bond was fixed at $100 in each case. Jackson case held up. The indictment of Martin reveals an interesting incident which stirred City Hall circles last week. Martin, who is an inspector in the Waterworks Department, it is alleged invited the Negro Briscoe, who is commonly known at the City Hall as Shamrock, down into the basement where, it is said, he proceeded to give him a beating with a cowhide as the result of alleged statements made by Shamrock, who had declared that Martin had taken some paper from a section of the City Hall. Zode Smith, general manager of the department, it is said, was present at the cow hiding. The grand jury failed to act on the Partee Jackson case because of the absence of important witnesses. Partee, a railroad engineer, is charged with killing Sam Jackson, a fellow railroad engineer, last July. Page 20, column 5, veterans donate for Fagan Shaft. Marietta Camp joins trainmen in plan to erect and unveil monument Memorial Day. The members of the United Confederate Veterans, Camp No. 763 of Marietta GA, have joined with the Atlanta Lodge, No. 270, Brotherhood of Railway Trainmen, in the movement to raise funds for the erection of a monument to Mary Fagan, who was murdered in the National Pencil Factory on April 26, 1913. At the last meeting of the camp, the veterans voted unanimously to take $5 from the camp treasury and devote it to the fund, and a sum of 25 cents was assessed against each member. $40 was raised in less than an hour. George S. Owen, a member of the famous 18th Georgia Regiment, was named treasurer of the fund and authorized to accept donations. Expressing the willingness of the veterans to cooperate with the railroad men in the movement, J. Gid Morris, commander of the Marietta Camp, has issued an appeal to all lodges, organizations, churches, Confederate veterans camps, and private persons to join in the movement to erect a suitable memorial to the little girl who gave her life for honor. It is requested that all donations be sent to Camp No. 763, PCV, Marietta, Gay Ale. Mr. Morris is preparing to call a meeting of the railroad men, veterans, and all others raising funds for this purpose at his home in Marietta on December 10, 1913, when a committee will be named to select a design for a monument and make arrangements for its erection and unveiling on Confederate Memorial Day, April 26, 1914, the first anniversary of her death.